Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy
of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around. Down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked. Saw it. Evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's like it's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the Tailgate 670 Score. I am your host, Paul Pabst. NFL Week 5 is here. 1 month of games in the books. The Bears absolutely stole one. Josh Blackwell stole one for the Bears last week against the Raiders. The weather's been silly good in Chicago. It's like summer all the time. I was there last weekend, went to Cubs and Cardinals. Fantastic weekend. Great sunburn. Really feel good about that. Bigger picture, though, Bears going to the bye weekend with a 2-2 record. And the last two were the good two. College football weekend, looking really good. Lots to get to today, but first, the lead this week in Chicago was obviously Padres at the Cubs. 3 days, wild card, really intense up at Wrigley. And these teams have history. Now, you got to go back a long ways. You may not remember this, but that great 84 Cubs team, Ryan Sandberg and all of them, that was up 2-0 on the Padres in the NLCS. And then they proceeded to lose three straight. That was brutal. If you look at some of the great Cubs teams of the past, that may have been the most talented, even including the 16 team. The last game of the NLCS in 84 was on October 7th, 1984. Sean, you may not remember this, but that day could have been one of the all-time great days in Chicago sports history. But you may not remember, early in the day, the great Walter Payton of the Bears broke Jim Brown's rushing record against the Saints at Soldier Field. Little Paulie Pabst was in the crowd with his stupid little camera taking pictures, and it was glorious, Sean. There's Walter, second play, second half, breaking the rushing record against the Saints. Perfect team to do it. I'm hugging and kissing and loving it, taking pictures. It was a great day. Sean, you could picture it in your mind, can't you?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, I've seen highlights of that. Obviously, I was not born when that was happening. But I could see a little Paul Pabst out there just cheering his heart out.
You don't have to call me old, but you just did. But it was a great, beautiful day to see sweetness. I'm getting emotional right then. My grandmother got me those tickets, little Ruthie Carey. She got me tickets. And there's Walter Payton breaking the rushing record. Then we zip home because we're going to watch the Cubs in the NLCS Game 5 to take down the Padres and advance in the playoffs like they hadn't done in forever. And the Padres won. And they took down the Cubs later that day. It ripped my little heart out, which was in tears over Walter Payton. I was in pain over the Cubs. It was such a painful day. And believe me, I like the Padres. I used to love Tony Gwynn. And Steve Garvey, he was the most handsome man on the planet. He was on the Padres back then. But it was absolutely painful that day. This time, it was tense. Game 1 was great. Game 2, not so much. No bats. Game three, it all worked out. The Cubs finished the job. They beat the Padres and move on in the playoffs to face Milwaukee.
It was a lot of fun, a lot to look forward to. And right here on the Score, game one of the NLDS between the Cubs and the Brewers from Milwaukee. The Score's coverage begins, as always, with Inside the Clubhouse with David Haugh and Bruce Levine from 9 to 11 a.m. Then Matt Spiegel, Spiegs, Hit and Run from 11 to 12:30, right up to official pregame coverage begins at 12:30 to first pitch at 1:08. Every local broadcast of Cubs baseball can be heard here on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Immediately following the game, which hopefully is a win, Judson Richards will have live reaction to game one right here on the Score and the Odyssey app.
All right, back to football, because that's what we do here. Paul Papp, 670 the Score, tailgate. Next game for the Bears, not till next week, bye week. Do you want to buy when you're doing well? Like, the Bears have a little bit of momentum, two games in a row, but a bye week. I think you do want a bye week to get your defensive backfield healthy, get a little momentum, but you had momentum. Remember last year's Bears team? They were 4-2. They just waxed the Jaguars in London, and then they had a bye week. That bye week was glorious. You're sitting around, I remember listening to the Score, David Haugh and Mully, like, the Bears are 4-2. They got some rest. And the back half of the schedule is a little tougher, but look at this team. And then 10 losses in a row. I don't think this team is anywhere near like last year's team, but this team doesn't feel like that. This team feels like they have an opportunity in the next five games. And we're going to get to the schedule coming up, but this team feels like they have a little momentum, get a little rest of the bye week, and get things going. Let's look back at last weekend's game. Bears 25, Raiders 24. Josh Blackwell off the bench with a blocked field goal to steal the win. If you watch that play over, he jumped the snap. Everyone else is still in their stances, and he is just taking a step forward. I mean, he is a half step. And if you look at it, he blocked that thing by about 2 inches. And if they don't get that block, that's a loss. And that's a loss that probably wouldn't have been received too well in Chicago. You know, winning is the ultimate deodorant. That was a loss that got repackaged at the end into a win. But it was a choppy game. The offense moved the ball decently, more in the second half as usual, but there's penalties. A bad snap late in the game. Caleb Williams had to fall on. Not taking advantage of a lot of good turnovers. But they kept the Raiders in the game. The Bears' defense, some good, some bad. The bad, they couldn't stop the running game again. Ashton Gentry, the rookie, he had his first breakout game, and it was against the Bears. Remember what happened against Dallas? Good win. They couldn't stop the run. Four forced turnovers, that's the good for the Bears' defense. I don't think the Bears' defense is aggressive. I don't think they're dominant in any way. But if you could pick off a couple turnovers here and there, it cleans up everything. Then he gave the offense a bunch of extra chances. The Bears' offense, another good fourth quarter, a nice TD drive to go up 25-24. It felt good, but they left a little too much time on the clock. Raiders moved downfield, and it felt like when you're sitting there watching that game, I know a lot of people went to Las Vegas to see it, it felt like a loss was coming. When they lined up for that field goal, I was like, okay, this is a game you're about to let slip away, and then blah, block. It was beautiful. Usually you don't see blocks from around the end. It's usually a push up the middle, and a big guy blocks it. That's pretty much tradition. Around the end, there's almost no way to get there, but a block kick, and now you're 2-2. You know, your block kick or a non-block kick from being 1-3. But then you look at the other side of this, you're one bad quarter by against the Vikings from being 3-1. So the extremes are pretty heavy. But 2-2, blank slate, a lot to get to. You know, there's a big NFL weekend ahead. You got a couple good ones. You got Raiders Colts. You got Cowboys Jets. You got Broncos Eagles. We'll go through all those games a little bit later. But joining us now on the tailgate, he played at Iowa. He played in the NFL. You hear him right here on the Score all the time. He's on the Big Ten Network. He's on Fox 32. Geez, this guy's got more jobs than I do. He's Anthony Herron. Ant, good to have you on the show. Let's go back to last Sunday. If the Bears do not block that kick,
it would have felt similar to how do we look last at that year, Paulie, where the idea would have been shaped by the fact that Caleb didn't come up with a win. And we've kind of been here before in evaluating the Bears where it's an ugly game, a grimy game, and Justin Fields has like a nice pass that some receiver drops and they lose. Like, oh, well, it's definitely all on the quarterback, right? And to me, this game stuck out where because it was so grimy, because things were so, you know, unclean throughout, specifically for Caleb with receivers dropping passes, with pass protection breaking down, I was thoroughly impressed with the composure. Yeah, it was definitely imperfect, even his performance. Right. But the composure he continued to show throughout, to me, really stood out even more so in some ways than what we saw him do the previous week against the Cowboys.
Yeah, I agree. When that bad snap happened and he corralled it and just laid on it and kept his cool, I thought this might not be the day for the Bears. But It's funny that the block kick by 2 inches, a block kick by Josh Blackwell, it's like the ultimate deodorant over an average performance by a team. Like, it's a win. It's a steal. Let's get out of Vegas and go home. Believe me, I've left Vegas in a hurry before, and at least you get a win out of it. But when you look at the team, the one thing after 4 weeks I look at and think to myself, boy, that run defense is worse than I expected. And against the Cowboys, even though it was a great win, the run defense was not there. Ashton Gentry has a breakout game against the Bears. I worry that the teams in the back half of the schedule might be licking their chops when they look at that run defense. You play the position. What do you see?
I certainly would be licking my chops if I was those teams. It's just it's too leaky. And there's a couple of reasons why, Paul. For starters, of course, up front, Grady Jarrett not being in there, it depletes the defensive line. But frankly, even while Grady was in there, Grady was getting run out the club a few times. Like, Grady Jarrett, as well as he can play with leverage, he hits blocks well, but he wasn't able to anchor against pressure. And so whenever multiple blockers were attempting to move Grady Jarrett, they were able to run him up out of there pretty easily. And I think that's why we've seen him not in the lineup here as of late. The bye week comes at a really good time for him. Andrew Billings is more difficult to move at the point of attack. That actually did show up against the Raiders. The issue was the game, the style of opponent didn't suit Tremaine Edmonds in the same way that the Cowboys game did, where the Dallas offense was very lateral. So we saw Edmonds able to utilize his athleticism flowing sideline to sideline. With an offense running right at him, whether it was in Buffalo or now in Chicago, Tremaine Edmonds has always been really inconsistent with reading the run and reacting downhill. So that's got to be something that he gets shored up. And Norsul has played well, but hopefully getting TJ Edwards back after the bye week, assuming that's the case, then that'll shore up the second level of the run defense. But the D-line has to start condensing those run lanes even more. And Javon Dexter, he has to be a part of that because he's going to be on the field. He's right now still a better pass rusher than he is run defender. And he's got to do a better job at keeping his linebackers' lives a little more easy and clean.
Yeah, I was thinking about Noah Sewell. It feels like he's more of a true run plugger, run stopper, and he's really kind of starting to have a breakout month. But when I go back to the run defense, it seems like, again, you play the sport. When you have problems rushing the passer, you can do different things, stunts, and you could do blitzes and other things. Is there a fix when you're getting run on?
They've tried a few different things. I see Dennis Allen moving the defensive front. They'll slant the D-line into the play sometimes, and they're just not creating movement. They're not getting penetration. When you move the D-line, whether it is just like an interior X stump between the defensive tackles, or if you go full slant going to either side of the field, part of the reason you're doing that, you want to clog up those run lanes, but you're hoping, especially with that backside edge defender, that you'll get some penetration into the backfield across the face of that offensive line. And that's just really not happening that much for the Bears right now. And, you know, comparing Montez Sweat with some of the other great edge defenders that we've seen, you got the one-to-one comparison when they play Detroit. You see Aiden Hutchinson flying all over the place and the style of play that suits him, just like Max Crosby.
Right.
These are two guys who are really great at avoiding contact. Not everyone's game is really suited for that. And that's where Montez Sweat, as hard as he plays, he tends to run into contact a lot. He's not as fluid and slippery as either of those guys are. We got to find somebody for the Bears, though, that's more effective at penetrating, because when you can get movement into the gap and create creases, you can force the running back to belly, and right, then that's where your linebackers have more time to flow.
You know, watching that game, and you always want what the neighbor has. Like, you know, when a neighbor has a sports car, and you're like, man, I got to get one of those. When you watch Max Crosby going against a rookie offensive lineman, as a Bears fan, you're thinking, where do we get one of those Max Crosbys? Because that guy was the focal point of the game for me. The cameras were on him the entire time because he just lived in the backfield. The numbers don't bear it out. He must have had, it felt like 7 or 8 pressures in that game. It's one of those players. The Bears did this a few years ago, Montez Sweat. I don't know if you do this at the trade deadline. I was thinking about this. Trey Hutchinson over in Cincinnati didn't seem too pleased with how things went there. I think you could get a guy like him for, I don't know what draft choice, but maybe if the Bengals aren't going anywhere, and without Joe Burrow, they maybe aren't. They're not known for spending. What if you, at the trade deadline, took a flyer on someone like Trey Hutchinson?
The difficulty is Ryan Poles has already spent big on Montez Sweat.
Right.
He spent, you know, he's not paying a Dio Dangbo like he's one of the top 10 defensive ends in the sport, but there's a significant investment that's there also. You've made a significant investment on the interior of that offensive line. So it feels to me like the line of scrimmage, they're probably done, because, you know, to trade and use that draft asset is one thing. Then you also have whatever, $25 million plus that you're going to pay Trey Hendrickson once he gets here also. Even if it's only for a chunk of the season, that's still a significant investment that you're giving up and shelling out for that player once he arrives. So I don't see the line of scrimmage being the spot that ends up happening. Now, the backfield, to be able to continue to bolster the run game, that's a position and a meeting room that I would say they're probably still deficient, at least with the resources they've put into it. From a personnel perspective, Trey Hendrickson definitely upgrades the Bears' line, especially off the edge. But there's already expenditures and resources that are, you know, pretty sizable in those spots. And I don't think you over-leverage yourself in that one room.
Anthony Herron played in the NFL, played at Iowa. I played against his squad down in Bolingbrook years ago, not too well. He's on Fox 32. He's on Big Ten Network. Thanks for joining me, Paul Papst, on the Tailgate 670 The Score. A few other things. You know, the Bears, they lose two, they win two. They could be 3-1 if J.J. McCarthy doesn't have a good quarter. They could be 1-3 if Josh Blackwell doesn't hit that ball. If, as a player, if you were on the Bears right now, would you want a bye week, or would you think to yourself, oh, we have a little momentum, let's keep rolling here?
If they weren't kind of banged up, not kind of banged up, they're really banged up.
Especially the defensive backs.
Right. That's where I feel like the players in that locker room, you normally have that sense. And so to be able to kind of sneak out of Vegas with a win and get to 500. And right now, the enhanced positivity comes from the idea that reinforcements are on the way. Yeah, you're not going to see Jalen Johnson anytime soon, but they know Kyler Gordon is close to returning. They expect TJ Edwards to be coming back soon. And then even just offensively, yeah, there's some momentum that's built up there.
But I'm having a little flashback, because last year the Bears go to London, they wax the Jaguars, and then they have a bye week, and we're all like, this is great. What, we're 4-2 and then 10 losses in a row? I don't think it's that, but it's almost like a flashback. That bye week, I wish that bye week never happened. One thing I was wondering with Caleb Williams, again, you know the sport pretty well. It seems like this year he's taking some safer throws and scrambling less. And I love that. I like guys who keep plays alive, but not to the detriment. I think a first and 10, 6-yard curl pattern is just fine with me for 6 yards. What do you see with him as being an improvement from last year to this year?
One of the things that really stood out to me about, especially the second half of that game, is as impactful as Max Crosby was and as many blocks as he was defeating, he was still beating blocks in the second half, but Caleb did get into scramble mode a bit more in half two versus Vegas than he was in half one. But he was still, to your point, Paul, keeping his eyes down the field.
Right.
And it wasn't always looking for a chunk play. Sometimes his eyes are down the field and then just finding the check down or throwing the ball away. So he's still protecting it, but now he does have a broader vision, a field of vision that allows him to still be able to deliver the football effectively and sort of know, have a better sense for where to go with it, even as he's evading pressure. But he does look more swift. Like he's moving around pretty good this year. When he decides to run, he's looking faster.
I like the way he runs. He runs to me kind of like Russell Wilson of a decade ago, where I'm not looking for a ton of contact, but I'll take it if I have to. But I'll slide after 8 yards. I'll run out of bounds after 11 yards. I think he runs smart, and he doesn't put himself in a position where I'm going to take the big hit, because it's almost like he's the president. You're not allowed to risk yourself, and you can't risk yourself. And I like the way he runs the ball. All right, a couple of things before we let you go. When you look at the NFC North, the Vikings, it's hard to tell. Green Bay, 2 weeks ago, they looked like the champs, and now it's like a little vulnerable. Do you see anything wrong with the Lions or issues with the Lions where you would not pick them to win the division at this juncture?
As of right now, no. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I felt differently, but it's a different Lions squad since that game against the Bears. Green Bay is still uber impressive, as you know, but Detroit, top to bottom, the roster that I feel most confident in, it comes with the Detroit Lions. Now, Green Bay, Matt LaFleur, schematically, really impressive. Jordan Love, he's not a Hall of Famer yet, and I think a lot of us are just kind of judging him by that standard, as though he needs to be Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. But, man, he may just be a notch behind those guys when he's really cooking and he's healthy. So I think both those teams, it's still a little bit of a toss-up between the two for me. But I would say, as far as what I've seen the last 2 weeks, I give Detroit the edge.
All right, Anthony, you play in the NFL. You work at the Score. You work a lot of different places. But just one fun one before you leave. If I took every on-air personality at the Score and put us all in the octagon together right now, who's coming out?
Oh, I mean,
you could pick yourself.
Now, I was going to say, who all are we including in this? Because if we're talking people who host full-time shows, I mean, I don't know that there's much of a challenge here. If we're including, you know, like Olin Krutz, Dave Wannstedt,
okay,
you know, some
Coach,
of those, Alex
Coach Wannstedt,
Brown.
You know, he seems like he'll go low on you and like go for your knees.
Oh, and Wani's still a statuesque guy, too. Yeah. I mean, he's in his 70s at this point, but he doesn't look it, still moves pretty good. So that's
David Hall played some ball at Ball State. I think he could still put up a fight.
I mean, David Hall would definitely have a reach advantage on a lot of guys and a stamina advantage on most of us because of how great a shape he keeps himself in. But, you know, if I'm making a choice, I got to go with myself. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. I like my chances.
I think it's you and Olin if they let Olin in the ring, and that'd be a good one. I tuned into that. Anthony, thanks for everything. Like to hear you on the score. Next time we have you on, talk a little Big Ten because I love what you're doing at the Big Ten Network. It's great to have you on the show.
Appreciate you, Paulie.
Anytime. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk some college football. We got the morale meter. We got my Bears game prediction, and we're joined by Andrew Perloff of Maggie and Perloff. Great morning show on Odyssey Infinity. That's next. This is the Tailgate, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on The Tailgate, 670 The Score. That was a lot of fun talking to Anthony Heron, chopping up the Bears, chopping up the NFC North. But it's college football time. The weather has changed. You know, apple picking, chili, all flannels, all that good stuff. Let's talk some college football. Last week with college football, interesting weekend. Ohio State rolled Washington. I thought that they put up more of a fight. Oregon beat Penn State in overtime. That was a fantastic game. Could have gone either way. Penn State's got that rep of not closing up big games. Ole Miss dropped LSU. Ole Miss is looking really good. I think Ole Miss, this could be a year for them. They have an Alabama team that might not be great. A Georgia team might not be great. They took care of LSU. Lane Kiffin get his title this year. Alabama back with a vengeance, taking care of Georgia, kind of clean up on aisle five for Kalen DeBoer. A great rebound win by Illinois versus USC in Shambana in overtime. And Notre Dame waxed Arkansas, getting right back on track. The college slate for today, let's run through the games. It's a spotty weekend. A huge game for the lovable Vandy squad at Alabama. If Vandy beats Bama, holy cow, that's galactic on both sides. Minnesota, good uniforms at Ohio State. Don't think that's going to work out for the for Minnesota. Miami at Florida State, Mississippi State at Texas A&M, Wisconsin at Michigan. Wisconsin needs a good game. I mean, a fight. Illinois at Purdue and Boise State at Notre Dame. Shouldn't be any trouble for Illinois and Notre Dame. A lot of college football later today, but let's get to it. Joining us now on the tailgate, my good buddy and the co-host of Infinity Audio's Infinity Odyssey National Morning Show, Maggie and Perloff. He's Andrew Perloff. Pearl, we'll get to the Bears in a second, but let's start with your squad in the NFC. Is it the Eagles and everybody else, or do you think it's the Eagles, Lions, and everybody else at this juncture?
Ooh, I'm going to put the Rams in that. Eagles, Lions, Rams, and everybody else. The Eagles are not as dominant as last year. Saquon's down to 3.1 yards per carry, basically. People have figured out how to stop the run, so they have to pass, but they haven't been doing that consistently, and they don't know what to do with A.J. Brown. I think the Lions are right there, obviously. I think the Rams are good, Paul. I mean, they almost took Philly out. That game could have gone either way. They should have won the game, to be honest.
Yeah, the Rams really had that one. They blew it. But, I mean, that could come back to haunt them with home field advantage. When you see the kind of the infighting with A.J. Brown not getting enough touches, I looked up the stats, and the Eagles throw the ball attempts less than any team in football. And it's almost like being on Oklahoma or Nebraska in the 80s and complaining about not getting the ball. We're winning, but I've got 17 catches on the year. Is there any way to fix this? Because I don't think you're going to change to a passing offense.
No, I don't think there is a way to fix it. I mean, he won a Super Bowl, and he wasn't a main target, and he said I was happy. Here's the thing. He's more about himself than the team in this case, which is such a wide receiver move. Remember, right, the Eagles had T.O. in the 2000s, and he took him to the Super Bowl in Jacksonville, and it was great, and it didn't last. I fear A.J. Brown, who's 28, I believe, that he's going to go down the same path. I do not see a way for them to make it all come together. I think they're going to have to trade him, if not by the deadline, over the offseason.
That would be gutsy. That would be a really gutsy move. And their general manager is not scared to make a move like that. But I don't know if you can replace that type of wide receiver with another wide receiver. You may think to yourself, we don't need wide receivers on this time. It's like Army football. We don't necessarily need high-end wide receivers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill, and they're just fine. You saw the Packers traded Devontae Adams, and they got wide receivers. It's a bit – we talked about this a lot. The wide receivers sometimes can become the new running back. There is a lot of them. They're
replaceable.
Coming into the league. They're replaceable, and they're getting expensive. I mean, listen, the great ones, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, are game changers. But for the Eagles, they don't. You nail it. They just don't need that kind of wide receiver. Now, he is a special weapon for them, and it'd be better if he was there, no doubt.
Right.
But I think they could adjust. I really worry that Saquon Barkley was overused last year, and without him as their special sauce, are they really that much better than Detroit or Green Bay? Close, and or the Rams? I don't think without Saquon being the superstar, they're going to do it anyway.
You know, I've been thinking about the Lions a little bit. And 2 years ago, they were staring at the Super Bowl, and they blew it in the second half. And then last year, a little bit further away. But I sometimes think about a team like that, like to reference a Chicago team, the Bulls against the Pistons back in the late 80s. You kind of have to learn to get over the hump. I think my theory is that this is the Lions team that does it, that goes the entire way, at least to the Super Bowl, because they've learned how to do it. When you look at that team, do you see any issues?
Yeah, I was watching them against the Browns this weekend. The Browns, that defense is legit. Aiden Hutchinson went down, and he was actually grabbing towards his leg. He got popped right back up in 30 seconds. They feel like they have the same problem that the Chargers have and the 49ers have. They are injury prone. And, you know, that might be luck, but Aiden Hutchinson's coming off a major injury. I do worry about that defense staying healthy. Remember, last year was crazy. It was a mass unit. That would be my one Achilles heel for them. Can't stay healthy. And Hutchinson in particular seems to be like a wild man.
Yeah, as I say, if they get a big lead, let's say they have a big lead in the NFC North, I may rest him for the last game of the year and just say, put on some street clothes, man, and a hoodie and stand on the sidelines because we only need you in January.
He's awesome. Totally. He's really good. There's a few, by the way, like there's a few of these like game changing pass rushers. If you notice, that's like a new class of like Brian Burns in New York, Aiden Hutchinson, TJ Watts like that, Nick Benito in Denver. These guys are fast and strong.
But you know,
Pearl, a lot of big pass rushers.
You're a smart guy who writes about football for different outlets. And I've noticed a little bit of a thing on social media lately. You do not need a stud pass rusher to win in the NFL. Have you seen that going around? There's
no,
a theory
explain.
That. You don't trade for one. Like, you don't break the bank to get one like Khalil Mack years ago, the Bears did, that you can get by with a piecemeal pass rush as long as you have good DBs and a good quarterback. I don't know if I
don't buy that. Really, I'm so surprised because right now the dominant defense, guess who's the number one defense in the NFL?
Chargers.
Cleveland.
Okay, wow.
Cleveland. And you know why? Because they have the single best player in the league in Myles Garrett. He is incredible.
And so even last week when I was watching the Bears against the Raiders, Max Crosby, unstoppable. It looks like he's playing with children.
That's who I want to say. He's like the MVP of the entire sport. It was unbelievable. Caleb Williams played so much better than it looked because he was dealing with that madman on the other side of the line.
Yeah, the Bears had a rookie offensive tackle who had, I think he played 15 snaps in the NFL. And I was watching the game. I actually was watching the left tackle, Max Crosby, and not the quarterback the first four plays. It looked like me trying to do one of those blocking things I did in the Dan Patrick Show days. He looked like a drowning man, or he's wearing wooden shoes. It was not even close.
Yeah. Remember when your guy, your buddy, J.J. Watt, would either get to the quarterback or he'd block the pass? Yeah. Max Crosby's reached out. He could read the quarterback's mind somehow, and he would step back and block passes. He's all over the place.
Andrew Perloff and Maggie Perloff on Infinity National Morning Show joining us now on the tailgate. I'm Paul Papp, 670 The Score. Let's get to it. The local view of the Bears team is it's more of a week-to-week soap opera. You know, what happens against J.J. McCarthy, and then, what happened against the Lions, and then, man, we just waxed the Cowboys, and then we got lucky against the Raiders. What do you think the national view right now is of this Bears team and how competitive they are?
So the national view is whatever Caleb Williams did on Sunday, that's who Caleb Williams is, in the sense that
it's week to week.
It's the most, he is one of the most overreacted players. That's not a word, but people overreact to him so much. I was looking at his game log, Paulie. It's incredible. He is within 5 yards, except for the game against the Cowboys. He's at like 207, 211, 212. He has actually been wildly consistent
right
game. And I felt like after the first 2 weeks, he was getting way too much criticism. Personally, he was getting killed. Nationally, he was really getting skewered.
Well, it's funny because I look to you in situations like this, and this is why I have you on the show, because you're a measured national sports radio person who, and I mean as a compliment, and you know the NFL like the back of your hand, but then you see people after week two saying Caleb Williams could be the next Johnny Manziel, or the Ben Johnson-Caleb Williams marriage will not work out. Not might not, will not.
Yeah.
It's like hot takes for the sake of hot takes, and I don't think they're necessarily watching the Bears games. Clearly, Caleb Williams has some improving to do, and he's not Jaden Daniels, and he's not, you know, Tom Brady, but it just doesn't match the actual play on the field.
Well, even I can overreact to. Remember when the Lions had a tough week one game and Ben Johnson was, then they missed Ben Johnson. Remember that narrative that the Lions were good? We overreact. Caleb in particular, and it goes back to Oklahoma and USC, he really gets people's attention. He's got like, you know, that magic sauce that the Cowboys have. Polarizing. Shedeur Sanders has it. Caleb Williams, on our show, if we talk Caleb Williams, the phone lines light up.
And actually, you understand how this works. You worked as an editor, not to get too deep in the weeds here, but let's do it. A lot of different websites and people realize the analytics of how the Cowboys or Shedeur Sanders or LeBron, and they kind of concoct takes that are maybe a little more extreme than they would with other players. And Caleb Williams, people either like him a lot or really don't like him a lot. There's not a lot of middle ground on him. And I think a lot of media people feed into that and make miseducated football takes around him. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. They talk about when he cried in his mother's arms after the game. They talk about the painted fingernails. I mean, our show's close to Ty Dunn, who wrote that scathing expose on Caleb Williams. There is a lot in there. So that was in people's mind too. I don't know how many fans actually read that story, but in the media, it was a big deal. It painted a picture of a very selfish player. So I think after his the first 2 weeks, people wanted to jump on him.
People want to
attack character, Paul. You know that.
Yeah, they want to attack character, and then they skew the stats to make it fit their needs. All right, we'll get back to the Bears in a bit, but I do want to hit the AFC a little bit. A lot of people were jumping off the Chiefs bandwagon early. The Bills, everyone loves the Bills always, but then it seems like they just don't get it done. James Cook, the Bills running back, not a household name. He's got 400 yards after four games.
Yeah.
And they've never had a running back who's kind of an alpha. And, you know, he's not famous. He wasn't a superstar in college, but he's really, really good.
Yeah.
I think this is the Bills' year to appear in a Super Bowl. I don't know if they win it, but do you have any doubts on them or any issues with them right now?
Okay. full disclosure, I picked the Ravens coming into the season. I totally regret that. And you know why I regret it? When I realized that the Bills are going to have a 15-2 record because their schedule is so easy, they're going to get home field. So the AFC title game is going to be in Buffalo. Now, the Chiefs play well in cold weather, but the Ravens do not. So I guess it's going to come down to – I agree, the Chiefs seem like they're back, by the way. I think that's what you were implying. Yeah. I think it's going to come back to another one. I think they're ready to go over the hump. As you're talking about how the Bulls couldn't get past the Pistons, I feel so much similar. It feels like it's Josh Allen's time. Now, I guess their defense is a concern. Their defense is inconsistent. Even the Saints looked pretty good at times last week against them. So that's the one area that I'm a little bit worried about.
Okay, one more NFC team I want to hit with you. Are you, and I think I know the answer, a Baker Mayfieldist like I am? It's okay.
I'm not there with you. I'm not there with you. Because I think Baker Mayfield, of course, you know, I think he was going to beat the Eagles last week out of nowhere. Of course, because he's Baker Mayfield. He's going to escape like 7 sacks and throw a 30-yard touchdown. But let me ask you this. You're a Baker Mayfieldist. Do you think he can win a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I do, because I think if he's in the game at the start of the fourth quarter, I love him in the fourth quarter. I don't love him in the first half. And I think he's got more guts than skill. And I'm fine with that if he's got a good team around him.
No, he's great. But there's a tier with Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Joe Burrow. He's right below that. That's the thing. And I don't know if that team's good enough to win a Super Bowl. And so I don't think I think you're a little higher on the Bucs. And I get it. I mean, they're going to be hurt from. But I'm not quite as high. He's awesome to watch, and he seems really cool.
If you were having a bro weekend at the lake, he's first ballot, right?
Oh, my God. Especially, you know what? It seems like he's settled down a lot. He used to be a little brash, especially coming out of college.
Right.
You know, I won't dance with him because he's an elite dancer. Have you ever seen those videos?
I saw that. I mean, Baker Mayfield, I couldn't believe it.
I'll hang at the lake with him. Who else are we inviting? I mean, this is like, if we're inviting Baker, there's no Kirk Cousins or Brock Purdy. This is like,
no, you got to pick a lane. Cause if you want to go like a chill lake weekend, you invite Kirk Cousins and you invite, who else would you, Jared Goff seems kind of low key.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the bait, like Josh Allen would be fun with the Baker Mayfield.
Baker, Josh Allen. What would I go with on the West Coast? I don't know if Herbert parties.
You know who's really fun? CJ Stroud. Remember he did? We got
really?
Oh, yeah. Remember he did those videos with Micah Parsons? He's a blast.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's JJ McCarthy. He's young. He probably, you know, probably got a fake ID, but he seems like he's pretty fun.
Yeah. You know who we can't invite? We have to be careful about this one, too, because if he hears wind of this, he's going to want to come. If Aaron Rodgers comes, he's going to dominate the whole thing. We're going to be doing some kind of weird ayahuasca dance. Like,
right.
A-Rod can't come.
We'll be watching the news at 3 a.m, yelling at the screen. All right, a couple more things. Andrew Perloff, my buddy from Infinity Sports Radio, Maggie and Perloff. All right, Perl, the Bears have a situation, and I'm going to put you kind of as an outsider looking at it. You're a Philadelphia Eagles fan. You grew up that way. The Eagles Stadium is kind of not in the city and not outside the city. It's kind of in between. Is that correct?
Well, it's technically in the city. It's in South Philadelphia.
Right, but it's not a downtown stadium.
Not in Center City, no.
It's kind of off to itself, and does it have a little entertainment district around it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, very small. But all the one thing, all the other stadiums are there too. So there is a certain institutional knowledge. This is how you get to the stadiums.
Okay. You know Chicago. You've been there a few times, and you've probably seen Soldier Field or been to Soldier Field, and it's not the most convenient place. It's not the most attractive stadium of all time. It's, you know, kind of a hodgepodge. It's got a lot of things against it for amenities. Now, the views are a 10 out of 10. The location is a 10 out of 10 as far as like the lake and everything like that. The Bears are almost for sure going to build out in Arlington Heights, which is a near suburb, and they're going to build one of those Goliaths like SoFi or like in Vegas with, you know, all the different accoutrements around it. As a football fan, let's say you're just coming to Chicago for the weekend or you're moving to Chicago and you had a vote. What do you think we'd vote on that kind of thing?
Two thumbs down. Three thumbs down if I had one. Do you know there's 4 new indoor stadiums coming, Paulie? Indoor stadiums, and I'm stealing this from you.
Yeah.
This is Chicago Bears. These are the monsters of the Midway. You're going indoors. You're not the Vikings. You're not the Lions. You're the Bears. I cannot stand the indoors part. The suburbs, I'm okay. I can live with that. I can't stand the retractable roof for the indoors.
I think a lot of people agree with this take by you because if it's inevitable you're going to the suburbs and you're going to lose the downtown experience, at least have a retractable top so you can embrace the weather. I mean, I've always thought that the weather is a benefit for the Bears or some type of a light home field advantage. And even in Minnesota, I would have gone retractable. I'm sure it's more expensive, but what's another $50 million if you're already there?
But we know retractable roof means it's going to be closed. Retractable roofs are most often closed. They're very rarely open. So that's a bit of a tease.
I would have a retractable roof that's allowed to be closed six times a year. So you got a mandatory two open.
Yeah. So Denver's doing the same thing. I think they're doing either retractable. Kansas City is desperately trying to get a roof because they want a Super Bowl. Tennessee's getting a roof, and the Bears will probably get a roof. This isn't good. This is not the sport we grew up on.
And the other thing is, I don't think people in Chicago, I'll speak for myself. Yeah. I'm a semi-resident. I don't really care if Chicago gets a Super Bowl. I want my team to be in the Super Bowl in another city. I don't care to host one and have a bunch of people from out of town in town watching the Super Bowl while my team is not in it.
Yeah, especially because I already got one of the bedrooms. So don't even try.
You're already booked in.
If you guys get
a
Super Bowl, you're going to see Perloff on a couch or somewhere.
You'll be there before I am. All right, last thing before we let you go, Andrew Perloff on the score. Worst current uniforms in the NFL. I didn't give you a heads up on this, so I'll go first.
Yeah, please.
Sometimes uniforms are ugly, and ugly doesn't bother me, but sometimes when they're uninspired, that's what bothers me. The Atlanta Falcons are faceless, nameless, and I don't like the lettering. The colors don't match. There's very little stripes or contrast. Right now for you, what is the most uninspired or most in need of change uniform in the NFL?
So I was going to jump on the Jets. Because yeah. I don't like their look. But I got to tell you, the Titans aren't doing much. That could use a revamp.
Those fonts, the font of the numbers looks like a digital, like your Casio watch that you had in eighth grade.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at an image of all of them, and Tennessee's the one that pops out. The light blue hasn't worked since Steve McNair.
Right.
I'm not into it. What did you think of the all-black Dolphins, by the way?
You know, I think if I was 25 and lived in South Florida, I would have loved them. I think they kind of fit the vibe down there. I didn't love them because how naturally good their uniforms are, but I think it was worth a shot. Yeah, I just think, like, you know, I've talked to you about your Eagles before, that I want them to go back to the Kelly Greens, but I don't think they'll do it full time.
The best.
But this throwback, you know how the league works. They tease you with the throwback. They'll never go back, any of these teams like the Bucks or the Patriots, full time.
No. And, you know, college is killing the game in this. You know, Noah's an interesting one. The Arizona Cardinals had that desert one with the speckles of dirt on it.
Oh, no, yeah.
But you couldn't see on TV. It just looked like a white helmet. They looked like the Louisville Cardinals alternative uniform. I couldn't tell what was happening there.
It was a big mess. Hey, Andrew Perloff, thanks a lot for chopping it up with us on the score. We'll talk to you next time.
Awesome, Paulie. Talk to you soon.
Up next, it's our Pub and Grub of the Week, 3 and Out, the Morale Meter, and my Bears October prediction. That's next. This is the Tailgate 670.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids. I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
The score.
We're back with more of the tailgate with Paul Pabst.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh? Hey, someday I'm going to come out of that tunnel and I'm going to run onto this field.
Well, ain't going to be this day.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
Coach Parsegian know about it?
Here come the Irish.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on The Score a few more minutes before we wrap it up here. We're on every week throughout the football season. We're in October. It's great. It's chilly season. I think I'm going to fly back for that Saints game, just like Walter Payton did it to the Saints in 84. I'm coming back to take it to the Saints this year. Sean, let's get to it. Three questions. You pick them. I don't know what they are. They're football-ish related. Let's go.
All right, first one here. Bears bye week, but Romo Dunze is on pace right now for season totals of 85 receptions, 1,258 yards, and 21 touchdowns. 21 touchdowns would be franchise record. The 2250 would put him fourth all time. I think he's top four in receptions too with 85. How close is Romo Dunze going to come to putting up numbers like that this year?
You know, everyone cools off. Anytime you're that hot, there's a natural cooling off, or there's maybe a natural, let's get the ball to a few other guys a little bit more. But the touchdowns is the big number. You can get to 12 or 13 in a year, and that's all time. And plus, as a Bears receiver, everything's prorated. You almost get like bonus points for being a Bear receiver getting 1,000 yards because it's like an eclipse. All right, number two.
Number two. Number three, Miami. Number 18, Florida State is the lone ranked matchup this week here for primetime Saturday. But what is your expectation for your TV dominating your weekend for college football?
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff up there. It's one of those where I have three TVs at the crib, and I put on whatever the best game is at the time. I am like a madman with a remote. So, yeah, I'm going to start with Miami, Florida State, because that's a big one. You know, watch that Vandy, Alabama game. Vandy is really good, and this is an opportunity. Alabama's been spotty. They picked it up lately. But keep an eye on that Vandy, Alabama game, because that is, if Vandy wins, oh, man, that's terrible for Tuscaloosa.
All right, and then last question here for you. Postseason baseball still going on here. Besides the 2016 Cubs, what is your favorite postseason memory, whether it be in person, a moment you remember family, maybe just a moment in baseball history that stands out? What is the quintessential postseason October highlight for you?
That's a great one, and this one's kind of a sad one because the 0-3 Cubs did not advance against the Florida Marlins. But after the whole Bartman-Moises Alou mess of Game 6, in Game 7, Kerry Wood, the starting pitcher, who's one of my favorite players, and most fans who love the Cubs love Kerry Wood. He hit a home run to tie the game up in Game 7, and a pitcher doing it in a playoff game, and the place went glad. I mean, it was out of their minds. I watched a video on YouTube just the other day, and to me, it's one of the more disappointing highlights in Chicago sports history, because if the Cubs would have advanced and won that World Series, that Kerry Wood home run would be all-time legendary.
Historic.
It'd be like
the Braves, too. They'd be talking about that, too.
And for Kerry Wood, a guy who had so much other troubles with his arm after that, that home run could have been an all-timer. Your third question. Oh, that was your third question.
That was three now, man. That was a good one. I love Kerry Wood, my guy. I'm always a soft spot for Kerry Wood.
I love Kerry Wood. I've never met him. I've always wanted to. I would love to buy him a beer. All right, let's get to a couple more things before we wrap up. Overtime in the NFL, a lot of people debating it. You know, it's 10 minutes. And there was a tie the other day. I'm not big on ties. Players hate ties. You can just extend it to 15 minutes and eliminate the chance for a tie, or almost eliminate the chance for a tie. I have an idea for how to fix it. I'm going to give it to you next week. It's really convoluted. It's really weird. The other thing I'm going to talk about next week, stadium renderings. The Bears stadium renderings were released, the Arlington Heights stadium renderings. I would say the word uninspired jumps out to me. Homogeneous jumps out to me. They look like every other stadium being built today. It looks like the Raiders stadium just with some blue and some orange in it instead of black and silver. And if you're going to spend billions of dollars, especially, you know, $800 million of taxpayer money,
Make sure it's inspired and once in a lifetime, because it should be a once in a lifetime stadium. More on that next week. How's morale? The morale meter here on the tailgate, 670 The Score. That's where we judge the morale of the Bears fans right now. I'm going to put it at 7.1, a measured 7.1. The Josh Blackwell block of the kick was unbelievable. I was at O'Hare Airport in the lounge watching that one on the way home, and it was fantastic. The whole lounge went berserk. But measured, 2-2 is great. It feels good. You get a bye week, get some people healthy. But I think what's been positive for the Bears is the schedule after the bye week. At the Washington Commanders, clean up the mess from last year. Host the Saints, that should be a win. Baltimore Ravens, there's an opportunity with the Ravens defense right now to steal that win. The Bengals offense is horrendous. Their quarterback situation is a mess. Their defense is average. You could grab that win. You host the New York Giants, not a bad team, very good defensive line, but still, you have a Jackson Dart, a rookie starting. There's a possibility for 4 out of 5 wins. Would I see 3 out of 5 wins? I'm fine with that. Great. But there's a lot of wins on the table. You're not facing the Chiefs. You're not facing the Bills. You're not facing the Eagles in the next month and a half. A lot of wins on the table. My pick for the next Bear game, I'm going to say 3-2 in the month of October. And you got to feel good about that. I think for the Bears this year, to think about getting past the Lions is not realistic. I think the Lions are going to lose 2 games at the most. But if you can go into November at 5-4, that's a pretty good position to look at a wild card, to steal a wild card, to grab 10 wins, which would be something. 9 wins was my prediction, but you're in striking distance of that. But a lot going on, great weather, great football coming up, a weekend to take the week off, put your feet up and watch all the other games. That is the tailgate for week 4. We're in October, best month of the year for many reasons. It's not even a debate. Enjoy the outdoors. Enjoy the football. Tailgate will be back next week. I'm Paul Pass. This is the tailgate. 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.